Welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. Today's stories include the critical mistakes that small business owners make when planning for their golden years, what's ahead for small businesses when it comes to customers using credit and debit cards, and the most tax-friendly states. We'll begin with this. Two big mistakes business owners make regarding retirement. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
Many business owners underestimate how much they'll need for retirement. And one financial planner says that's usually because they rely too heavily on the sale of their business. Tom Arecchio says usually the reason a business does not sell for as much as an owner hopes is because they did not groom a successor, so the business is entirely dependent on them. Secondly, they underestimate how many of their expenses the business has been paying, from their car and travel to entertainment. For instance, the owner of an engineering firm thought he'd be able to sell his business for $1 million. But the best offer was for $750,000, 25% less than he wanted, mainly because he did not have a successor. The business was entirely dependent on him. Combined with other investments, he was now a total of $300,000 short of what he'd planned on for retirement, which meant a difference of $1,000 a month in retirement. I'm Joe Connolly for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you, Joe. Well, changes are on the way to our plastic. Chip credit cards are coming, but apparently Americans are not ready for them. Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel, who covers the banking industry, says new credit card technology promises more security, but also more steps. Robin, what about these credit cards?
These cards have been in use for years in Europe, Asia, and Canada. Basically, they have a little computer chip in them, and they are more secure than the regular cards that we use now that have the magnetic stripe. And the reason they're more secure is because each transaction that you make has a unique code that's generated by the computer chip. And so if someone breaks in, hacks into a merchant, and they steal the data is worthless to them. So it's much more secure form of payment.
So this, for example, could have prevented the Target hacking?
It doesn't prevent the hacking, but it makes the information useless to thieves. So you would think if the information is not useful to them, they probably won't try hacking.
Okay, so Europe, Asia, and Canada have been scratching their heads looking at us going, what are Americans waiting for?
Right. Well, there's really been kind of a chicken and egg scenario in this country for years. The credit card issuers did not want to put these cards in the hands of consumers until merchants could use them, and merchants didn't want to upgrade their technology to accept the cards until their customers actually had them.
So now at this point, we're at the breaking point?
Yeah, I think the Target breach was so vast that it really accelerated the movement. And also there are some new rules coming from Visa and MasterCard, which basically say by 2015, if you have a chip card in your hand and you use it at a retailer who is not able to accept that chip card, and if there is fraud, then the retailer then is responsible for any liability, any costs relating to that fraud. Right now, the banks absorb the cost, but they're shifting that liability in an effort to get the merchants to upgrade their technology.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel about these new chip credit and debit cards. So how long before we all have these?
Well, I mean, the numbers are really, really ramping up. Bank of America is issuing a lot of them right now. SunTrust is issuing them. Walmart's going to start issuing them. So more and more people are going to have them. The credit card companies started out really just issuing them to people who traveled frequently or had airline cards because they would be most likely to use them overseas. But now it's just becoming going to be much, much more common this year and next year.
Thanks, Robin. Wall Street Journal banking reporter Robin Seidel. Coming up next, a list of the most tax-friendly states.
At 30,000 feet, there's no room for error. To keep a modern fighter jet flying safely year after year requires a highly trained team of expert technicians and specialized equipment.
Echo 311 confirming final inspection. Roger that.
GMC certified service technicians take service and maintenance just as seriously.
And we'll do a full 27-point inspection.
Great, thanks.
With specialized GMC training and genuine parts for every GMC vehicle, you can be sure your GMC is always ready to take off. Incredible thinking, incredible service. GMC Certified Service. That's professional grade. For a limited time, get a $100 mail-in rebate debit card on a set of four select brand-name tires. See participating dealer for eligible tire brands and details. Rebate form must be postmarked by November 30th, 2014. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery of debit card. Offer ends October 31st, 2014.
We'll finish with this. Whether looking to move for a job opportunity, to be closer to family, or for a change of scenery, the impact of state and local taxes can take a toll on your household's finances. Sandra Block, associate editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, has a look at the least friendly and most friendly states when it comes to taxes. Sandra, where are the most friendly ones?
They tend to be in the South and the West, which probably shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody who lives in New England. But there's one exception, and this was true last year and this year too. Delaware is our friendliest state, and I think that's really interesting because it is very close to several states that are on our unfriendly list. But putting aside Delaware, once you get into the other tax-friendly states, they tend to be in the South, and as I said, you know, Louisiana, South Carolina, Mississippi all make the friendly list, and also Wyoming.
So why is that? What are those states, for example, where do they draw revenue from elsewhere? It must be coming from somewhere, these more consumption tax type states?
Well, that's right. And for example, Wyoming, which is number two, gets an awful lot of money from natural resources, from oil and gas. And as a result, it doesn't have to rely as heavily on taxes from residents as some other states. So, and I think in Delaware's case, you know, they have so many corporations based there that provides a good source of revenue for them as well. So I think that's part of it. But one of the things we really look at hard is, and one reason people need to pay attention to all of the taxes is some states might have very low or no income tax, but very high sales taxes or very high property taxes to offset that. So you really have to look at all of the tax rates in a particular state to decide whether it's friendly or unfriendly for you.
We're speaking with Sandra Block, Senior Associate Editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, also at Kiplinger.com. We're talking about the least tax-friendly states and the most tax-friendly states. All right, so which are the states in which the taxes are really going to hurt?
Well, as I said, this is probably not going to be a surprise to listeners who live in New England. In California, our least tax-friendly state is California. Their top income tax rate is 13.3%. That's the highest in the country.
Wow.
Their state sales tax is 7.5%, and that's just the state. Many localities pile on top of that, and there's a combined rate of up to 10%. Their gas tax is above average. The only thing that sort of offsets all of this is their property taxes are not that bad. But again, this points to the trade-offs. Because California has had low property taxes for years, they sort of had to make up for it in other ways.
Got it.
So it's not really that great a deal. Coming in at number two on the list is Connecticut, which their state income tax ranges from 3 to 6.7%. State sales tax is 6.35%. But what really sort of nails people in Connecticut is property taxes. It's the second highest in the U.S., according to the Tax Foundation. So people pay a lot to own a home.
Yeah.
Connecticut and New Jersey comes in at number three, and that's the same situation. They have their property taxes are well above average. Their top income tax rate is 8.97%, and their state sales tax is 7%. So the only break people in New Jersey get is they have the second lowest gas taxes in the country, and they also pump your gas for free. So
right.
you could live. I would recommend living in Delaware and gassing up in New Jersey.
Good advice. Thanks, Sandra. Sandra Block, Associate Editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Well, if you want more on small business topics, trends, and startup ideas, check out WSJ.com and click the Small Business tab. You can also get small business tips by following me on Twitter with the handle @GordonDeal. And I'm Gordon Deal for The Wall Street Journal.